funny you say that, because the first verse is about stuff like that. You ready back there? You already running? Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Ask you to put your spirit upon us. May your spirit be here and lead and guide us. May our steps be in your word, because your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Your word is fire and it's water. It's a pillow and it's a hammer. Your word is, it's all we ever need. Forgive us for looking everywhere, looking for love truly in all the wrong places, and now we've found treasure. May we mine out these valuable nuggets. More are they to be desired than fine gold. Give us this wisdom. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray, amen. Amen. So, I know you guys won't be able to tell, so I'm going to keep it a secret because I don't want them to think I'm talking about them. But I have one or more kids that are adopted. You can't tell, I know. I know it's hard to tell. They all look just like me and my wife. It wasn't easy. Both of them were a challenge, but the second one we adopted, the mother, well, she's an illegal alien. She was she wasn't living her, she's still not, but she's a prostitute and she had 10 kids all in the system. But she didn't want to give up her kid, that power that she had. And even though we tried to help her with what's called a case plan, she didn't work her case plan, she worked the system. She couldn't get a job because she was an illegal alien. She couldn't work her case plan. She couldn't find stable work or stable. So everything that would apply to normal situations didn't apply. And what happened is when we had the child for the first year, we watched this beautiful, well-adjusted child, and because the court system started giving her weekend visits. She would leave our house and go to her house, and my wife would wake up in the middle of the night crying. She's calling. And through that, the Lord gave us verses through those 2 years. We had to mortgage our house, because the company we were with, the organization we were with, wouldn't back us up. You know, they said, you can't fight the system. We have to work with the system. You can't save every kid. Like, yeah, well, that ain't gonna happen for us. That's just not the answer we want. So we mortgaged our house and we found this high power lawyer in Miami, and he told us, man, there's not a lot you can do. There's a long shot. You know, she's just, Broward County is the worst county in the world, literally, for adopting kids. You know, they let the parents literally do whatever they want. And all through that time, all we got was the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Over and over and over again, God showed us that. And over again, we watch the system break down. In case you don't know, judges in Broward County get punished by being sent to family court. That's not a ha-ha, that's funny. No, that's reality. Our judge was convicted of judicial misconduct, convicted awaiting sentencing. That was our judge. Her case plan, which was not being worked, and our team, they have all these different names. What's the name of the, Denise, what's the name of the, Guardian Ad Litem. The Guardian Ad Litem is supposed to be an unbiased, only looking out for the kid and all this. Everybody was against us. You're fighting, we didn't give up. We weren't gonna give up. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story now. It's a great testimony to tell. But the lawyer told us, pack the kid's stuff, because they're going to pick the kid up. And if you try to fight them, you're going to lose your own kids. They will take your kids away. These people, they play for keeps. So the day we went to court, after 2 years of going to court every couple of months, we show up to court, and she don't show up. And they call on the phone, and, oh, my client's on the phone. Oh, I'm in the hospital. I got bursitis in my leg, or... The judge looks, and he goes, I've had enough of this. Their kid, get out. Just weeping and crying, and just, it was just... Well, you got to be there. We threw this amazing party because, like I said, I'm not going to tell you which one of my kids it was. You could look. It's one or more, maybe. And you could figure it out, maybe, if you could ask them and not embarrass yourself. But it was beautiful because we watched God show up in the miraculous. And one of the amazing things about the book of Proverbs is you could find a promise to hold on to. It's not just wisdom, it's promises. It's not just promises, it's supernatural circumstances that will override anything natural. My wife used to tell, it was great. I remember we're online one time at Walmart, and you know, you gotta love kids, you know, 3, 4 years old, what do they know? Mommy, are you gonna turn brown like me? Or am I going to turn white like you? And everybody online going, y'all need to have a talk with that child. Mind your own business. My wife used to tell them, listen, some babies are made in the tummy, but the best babies are made in the heart. People ask us all the time, you feel any different about your adopted kids? I mean, there's got to be like, you know they're like not your progeny. You know, you're like, oh, you definitely feel different. Oh, you do? Yeah. You love them more. Why? Because you know you had nothing to do with it. God did everything. Like, you can't even take own. Yeah, I made that. You made nothing. You had nothing to do with it except God dropping this blessing in you. And people also say things like, oh, you guys are such good people. We have so far and away gained more than they have. You have no clue, no clue. So if you're praying, thinking, or considering adoption, it'll break your freaking heart, but you're going to love it. It's great. Verse 2, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. What's really important about verse 2 in chapter 20. Did I say 22?
Yeah.
My mistake. I'm sorry. It is 21. It's 21. I got to keep my glasses on. There it is. Yeah, it's 21. So verse 1 of chapter 21 was the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Verse 2 is every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. And what's interesting about this, this is a lesson to Christians seeking answers in ways that might be self-serving. We've talked a lot about seeking good counsel and before you wage war doing these things. If somebody offers you a job making $25,000, $30,000 a year more in Texas, really consider that before you take it. Because your flesh is going to tell you, yes, that's the right decision. Yes, that's the right decision. You want to have somebody that says to you, wait a second, let's look this through. Have you looked up the prices of houses there? Have you looked up the market values there? Have you looked up the cost of living there? Have you looked up a church there? I mean, you're thriving here. Why would you move away? Well, I'll find another church. Not as easy as it sounds. You follow what I'm saying? So here, it's kind of a reveal. Listen, everything that you choose to do, it's right in your own eyes. But God weighs the hearts. Mr. V?
Yeah, Proverbs 14:12 says, with
Yeah. Nice correlating verse. Number three, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Now, to the Jew, this was a very, very scandalous verse. Because when you were a practicing Jew in Old Testament times, for you to sacrifice to God, to bring your tithes, to do the things that you were supposed to do, was what was most important. But here, he says, instead of sacrificing to God, do the right thing. Don't be one of those guys who shows up to church on Sunday with your hands raised up, but on Saturday night, you're with your hand raised up. You follow? Super important. I mean, from the perspective of trying to give somebody conviction, we're all hypocrites to an extent. I mean, everything is based upon your intent, of course. But in God's eyes, when he was talking to the Pharisees, he said to them, you give your tithe of cumin and cinnamon and all these things, and you forget the weightier things of the law. Mercy, justice. You know what phrase he used to describe them? He said, you strain a gnat and swallow a camel. Think about that. He said, you strain a gnat and swallow a camel. Be very careful with that stuff. A haughty look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked are sin. I mean, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked or sin. Now, what's kind of crazy there is it puts these things on a level playing field that I think that we find ourselves safe in. Like, as men, we like to judge one sin more than, well, you're a cheater, so obviously we know what you're about. Oh, really? Well, this guy's a murderer. I mean, we know what he's about. Well, we know this girl. She's a prostitute. Oh, my goodness. And all you have is a proud look and a haughty heart, huh? You know, it's a funny thing. Man judges sin worse or less worse than another. God don't. All sins need to be forgiven. And if they're not forgiven by the blood of Christ, they ain't forgiven at all, guys. Think about that. It's very, very interesting because we always like to think about what's bad, right? And everybody always puts Hitler, right? Hitler bad. Well, Mussolini bad. Pot Pol bad. I mean, we put all of these mass Stalinistic, socialistic, communistic leaders as like the worst thing in the world. Now, being less bad does not make you good, does it? Interesting the way he puts it here. The plans, verse 5, of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. People go to work for you. If you have a business, you get these people that pledge you their life as soon as they get there. I'm going to be your best new employee. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be here forever. People start coming to church. Man, this is where I belong. Your church has real fellowship and real love. Everybody, oh, man. Do me a favor. Just show up on Sunday, okay? Oh, I'll be here. You'll see. It's really simple. Just show up. People who are in a rush to get something never get it. Not to the fullest. People who are patient, just show up. There's a new, Marty sent me this new Jordan Peterson video. I mean, it should be required watching for everybody. What was it called again?
Show up 15 minutes early, 15 minutes late.
Well, it's a part of it, yeah. It's just, man, you got to watch it. The guy is just becoming such a... The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. My brother, he died about 8 or 9 years ago. And he was a couple years older than me. And the reason he died is because he had no successes in his life. Job after job after job. He was so smart, did good in school, got scholarships to college, but partied in college, so he got thrown off the baseball team. And then got his series something license and became a stock trader, but fell into more drug problems and was out of it. And just over and over and over again. And then every time he'd get a job, my father would call me, oh, he's doing so good. And I was like, man, just stay where you're at. Just stop. Relax. If you, one of the best ways you could see this is if you look at any of Chase's early tattoo work, if you watch the first few tattoos he did, be like, yeah, I'd be tattooing somebody else next time, not me. But if you see what diligence, what mastering your craft, what studying it is, learning the skill and the needles and the textures, and coming up with your own style, it's just diligence personified. Persevered. Dude, you figure out what everybody figures out. It usually takes people a lot less than it take you, but he's not gonna stop. He's just, and he don't feel, but it's not like he feel bad. You get up and walk, his dad talk to you, like he'd be like, okay, you're just another one. You're not gonna hurt his feelings. He doesn't have them. Getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. Isn't that a great verse? And there's no explanation needed. I mean, it's just straightforward. Listen again. Getting treasures by a lying tongue, it's the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. Man, if I got to explain that one to you, you don't want to understand it. The violence of the wicked will destroy them because they refuse to do justice. How many of you guys that are here, like, got into a lot of street fights? How many of you guys, like, is there like a reason that we got into fights all the time? Like, could you ever imagine, like, the conversation, tell me, how come you can't stop punching people in the face? Well, one time I was in this club and this dude looked at my girlfriend. I mean, it was like she's the mother of my child, you know? I mean, I'm sorry, you're not gonna look at my... And I look at it as an adult and go, oh my goodness. The violence of the wicked will destroy them because they refuse to do justice. I told this story a couple weeks ago about the first time that I said, no, I'm not gonna get into another fight. I remember thinking to myself, this is the greatest thing in the world. I gotta do this more often. Just not get into fights. The way of a guilty man is perverse, but as for the pure, his work is right. Now, there's wisdom there for assessing your situation and not only applying to your life. If you are hanging out with somebody who's always got something vile and nasty to say, perverted, that's a guilty person. You probably don't want to hang out with him until he cleans his act up. That might be for you ladies. But as for the pure, his work's right. Pretty good. Now, this next verse, I don't understand one bit. What are you guys laughing at? Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. I will tell you a story about this, though. The first house that me and my wife bought was in West Palm Beach off of Lake Worth Road and the Turnpike. And it was the first time I owned a house. It was like an acre and a half. It was $147,000, $147,500. Like, amazing. We couldn't believe it. And we were just married for a few years and just in Christ and trying to figure out life. And, you know, People think as soon as you get saved, like you cross some line and all of a sudden everything is peaches and cream, right? You find out, what do we know, that there's a lot of living left, right? Well, one time I was repairing there's a screen enclosure that went over the roof. And the people that owned the house before us, they took such good care of it that they ripped all the screen enclosure off and they'd climb on it and jump in the pool. Yeah, it was a party house. So I was up there and my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I don't see you. I gotta fix the house up, you know? So crazy, I went from like the laziest bum boyfriend in the world to being too busy of a. So I just sat up there and she would come out and I'd hear her walking around and, Ryan, where are you? I'm living out Proverbs 21:9. I'm sitting on the rooftop. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. The soul of the wicked desires evil, and his neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. You've had a wicked neighbor? It's the craziest thing. It seems so simple. It's like such a simple thing. Like, hey, you live next door to me. No matter how close or how far, why don't we find some common ground? Do you notice there's people that just will not? No, I just don't like that person. It's the craziest thing. These messengers of Satan. Verse 11. When the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise. But when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. Simply put, if you will receive, you will learn. If you won't receive, you're just going to get dumber. It's that simple. Because when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. Verse 12, the righteous God wisely considers the house of the wicked, overthrowing the wicked for their wickedness. Now, at first, that sounds like a setup. One of the things people always wonder about is if they get to heaven, are they going to be able to tell God why they didn't accept Christ? The Bible says that the way of a guilty man is hard. The way of a perverse man is difficult. The way of the unrighteous is hard. Over and over again. Do you know why God does that? To get our attention, guys. Like, you think about how miserable you were in your BC days. It don't matter. How much you had. How many. God's trying to get your attention. It's an old saying, God can't bless a mess, right? Am I losing you guys tonight? Are you guys not with me tonight? Yeah, are we learning?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Well, that's a funky verse, huh? Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Well, there's an encouragement to do what? Go feed somebody. Go take care of somebody. Go find somebody and pay their electric bill for a couple of months. A gift in secret pacifies anger, and a bribe behind the back, strong wrath. Now, because of the language barrier between Hebrew and English, there's really confusion on what that means, because it almost sounds like a gift in secret. You ever get into an argument with somebody and instead of like trying to confront about, man, I bought you, I'm sorry I was hiding on the roof, baby, here's a dozen roses. Nobody got that? You guys aren't with me tonight. Sometimes, instead of saying something, do something. But watch this latter part, and this is where it is. He says, a bribe behind the back, strong wrath. Now, does that mean a bribe behind the back will pacify strong wrath? Or will a bribe behind the back create strong wrath? And that's where the language is really iffy. But ideally, especially if you're going to think from a relationship perspective, buy her off. If you screwed up, get her something nice. What? Isn't that nice, honey? All right, so depending on what love language you are, right? All right, so my wife, her love language is acts of service. So my wife, one time, she goes away on a women's retreat, and I had a buddy of mine come over, and he painted the brick that goes, I got this brick, there's like stone that goes all the way around the house. And while she was gone, I had him come and paint it so it looked like it's like shiny, like it's almost like a wet look. And she came home, she, did you have that brick paint? She gave me the look. You guys know the look? It's a good look. She never found out what I did wrong. I'm teasing. It is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. Verse 15 is interesting from the Christian perspective, because one of the first things that you realize that the Lord says, and that's hardest to obtain, it's hardest to receive when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's better to give than receive. The Lord Jesus said, it's better to give than receive. When we spend the first part of our life, especially in that teenage years, man, that 12 to 16, 17, when, you know, we got that whole I gots to get mine attitude, and you start, as a Christian, doing something for something. Like, I remember serving God in church, and I was like, I don't know what this feeling is, but I'm digging it. I had no interest in working at church or being a part of leadership. Man, I just felt good when I was serving people. You understand that, guys? So if you're here and you're wondering why you're not getting the most out of your relationship with the Lord, why you might not get that feeling, well, I'll give you one of the many reasons. Maybe you're not serving God. When we tell you we need people to take care of the kids, when we tell you, you know, you can come here for a work day. There's always people that need a ride to church. There's always stuff to do. Try it. You got the convalescent homes every single week. I'd love to start a prison ministry, especially now that the restrictions on COVID are loosening up. It's a joy for the just to do justice. But destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. This is a very scary verse. See that word for wanders? It's the slow dripping of molasses in winter. Let me give you the picture. Everybody's first step away from God is their first step out of church. I don't understand. There's a whole movement of churches who don't do church. They do home fellowships. They get together once a month. They or people who are a part of a church and they have a fellowship and they don't. How do you not go to church? So clearly, over and over again, the Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren, as is the manner of some, encouraging each other the more as we see the day approach. I don't like, he who plants himself in the house of the Lord will still be bearing fruit in their old age. I mean, there's dozens of verses. A man who slowly drifts away, you're gonna die. You're gonna die. Well, I've been hurt by churches before. Like, all right, who ain't? Well, you don't understand. Nobody understands, I know. Help me understand. No, you won't get it. I know. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Verse 17, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, baby. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. 18, the wicked shall be ransomed for the righteous, and the unfaithful for the upright. Love this verse. Do you know what the cost of your salvation is? Do you know you were bought at a price? Do you know what the cost of it is? That was the payment. You know what the payment plan is? All of the unrighteous people in your life. Like, you were saved for a reason. I mean, let's not build a religion around what I'm saying. But one of the main reasons that God chose you is because of all the people around you that are unrighteous, that are wicked, that are foul and filthy. Like some of you guys, how many of you guys came from a Christian home? Hey, show hands. Right? Okay, so you came from a Christian home and you have all these, well, my mother, my father, you know. Well, what if you, like me, you don't come from a Christian home. Matter of fact, I don't even know. I never knew what a Christian was. Never had no idea what it is born again. When me and my wife went to her family's church to get married, because we were getting married, we went and they asked us what, you know, your religion is. And we had just started going. I think we started to go to Calvary. Didn't we go? Yeah, he asked me if I was born again, and she's like, yes, honey, you're born again. And I remember going, oh my goodness, I'm a born againer. I had no idea. Why? Think about this responsibility now. God looked and said, who can I use to influence the people in this circle? And he took you. Like, you owe it to them now. Because if it wasn't for them, he might not have chose you. Think about this now. The wicked shall be ransom for the righteous. Just such an interesting verse. It's a really cool take on that. Don't you agree? I hope you do. And the unfaithful for the upright. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. I have no comment on that to make. I don't understand that verse. Somebody could tell me later about it, because I just don't understand it. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. Again, there is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. Oil back in biblical times, guys, was more important than gold. As a matter of fact, there's an amazing story in the, I want to say, 2 Samuel or 2 Kings, where Elijah, somebody correct me, blesses this woman's house so that her oil never runs out. Is that 2 Kings, anybody know? Oil was what they used to cook. It's what they used to knead bread. I mean, you think about your house right now, and you go and you turn the faucet on. Could you imagine if you needed water, you had to walk, you had to lower a bucket into water, you had to pull it up, you had to carry it out, you had to go boil it, hoping that somebody didn't throw something nasty in the well. Could you imagine? And that's what you washed, cooked, cleaned, eliminated with. It is 2 Kings. Great story. 2 Kings 4, read it. So every time you hear about oil, oil was precious, especially olive oil. You'll see why they use that. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. I would love to spend all day talking to you guys about honor, how important the lost art of honor is. to be somebody who swears to your hurt, to be somebody who does something completely for something else, for somebody to keep their word despite. Worst phrase ever made in a human language. I was just following orders. Been used to commit all kinds of atrocity. Very famous Scottish philosopher said, the only thing that has to happen for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. Who was it?
Edwin Burke.
Edwin Burke. He was Scottish or Irish?
Scottish.
Scottish. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold. There's a saying, a guy with a briefcase can steal more money than any man with a gun. Here, this is the biblical origin of that. Listen, smart people, you could take a whole city. You could scale to the wall. You could assess the situation. Use your brain before you use your brawn. Don't be Mr. Hulk smash everything. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Oh, man. What a nightmare this. I'm sorry I'm laughing, but why didn't I hear this 45 years ago? Isn't that crazy? And I love the artistic way he puts this. If you guard your mouth and your tongue, you keep your soul from trouble. Remember that verse we read a couple weeks ago? That some people with their mouth calls for blows. You might get a fat lip, might get a bloody tongue, but you make your soul miserable too. He who guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name, he acts with arrogant pride. Oh, now every time you see the word haughty or scoffer, you now have a description of it. Excuse me. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. That's a correlating verse for, you guys remember, it says, the scripture says that the lazy man will be put to forced labor. When you like to work, nothing's a problem. I like to use Joey for this analogy. Before Joey went to the Marine Corps, he was a good worker, but he wasn't a great worker. He didn't understand the idea that when we get more orders and pack them, we make more money, and thus, he didn't understand. He was just a kid. He was just brand new. So there's this story that me and Austin laugh about every once in a while. We were just starting up our wholesale company, and it was like 10 to 6, and we were about to leave, and somebody called me, hey, can you get me out an order? Yes. I go, Joey, I just got an order for 50 Jacksons. He went, what was that? Nothing. Now, after 5 years in the Marine Corps, all the things that he's seen, Afghanistan, training in the field, what's too hard for him now? 10 to 6. You know what he would say? Too easy. Is that more of an Army saying, right? The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with wicked intent? Now, this could be meant for God or for people. Like if you are buying your wife or your husband a gift because you don't want them to find out something you did, sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with wicked intent? We met this guy that's been coming out to the gym. Nice kid, works hard, seems like a really nice kid. He says, hey, you guys, you know, you got a church, right? Yeah, yeah, guys. I said, man, you should come out sometime. We actually met him at the beach. He says, you got a lot of single women out there? I was like, no, actually, not one. It's crazy. You guys understand? How much more when he brings it with wicked intent? When I always tell the story about my daughter Elena, when her and Austin were just starting to get this spark of a relationship, this kid shows up to service one day, and he was gonna, oh man, my mother told me about this church. Yeah, that's what she did, huh? He came here just to see her. Didn't go so well for him. I got a call later from his mom. You were mean to my son. Yeah, I was. Gonna be even meaner too. Probably shouldn't come back to church here. Oh, that church, those people. How much more when they bring it with wicked intent? You guys got that? Now, yeah, of course, look, there's a level of that. You know, maybe some people show up with wicked intent, but God does something great in their life. Yeah, you can't know when that's going to happen. You just do the best you can with what you got. But we're telling stories. We're generalizing to try and bring to life the verses that you can apply, right? Right. A false witness shall perish, but the man who hears him will speak endlessly. A false witness shall perish, but the man who hears him will speak endlessly. There's a strange dynamic to that. When you lie for somebody else, you're going to die. But the people that you set on fire, they don't die. They just get worse. Like using, lying to somebody doesn't just hurt you because you lied to them. You set them on fire forever. They're going to just keep talking like it's fact. You guys got that? The person who hears somebody, that word for hear isn't just listen, it's, oh, I received that. Like when somebody else is now telling your lies. Interesting. Why it's so dangerous to go to a church that does not teach the word of God. And I'm going to say this as a, not as an arrogant, prideful thing. I'm saying this as an honest thing. Because you know how many churches go chapter by chapter, verse by verse through the Bible? They don't do it anymore. The Calvary Chapel movement, this is what they did. I've told you guys the story. I met a guy named Louis Neely. You look him up. He's an old school Chuck Smith era Calvary Chapel guy. And when I was just 2 or 3 years in this church, I went to this men's conference up at Billy Graham Center in, I think it was Maryland. I don't do many of those anymore because of the crazy things that go on at them now, but he was teaching and I said to him, hey, you know, I started in the book of Acts on Wednesday, and he said to me, Ryan, you know, I introduced myself, I didn't know him. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and start the book of Genesis on Wednesday night. Start in the book of in the book of Matthew on Sunday morning. Just go through the Bible. That's all Chuck did. You don't need anything else. Just go chapter by chapter, verse by verse. If you get through the Bible before the Lord returns, praise God. If you don't, that's fine too. And something just, boom. It's like, that's it. We've now are on our third way through the book, the New Testament, and we've been doing this thing 16 years now. And all the far we've got in the Old Testament is to where we are today. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I don't teach topical. I just, this is what we do. And we've learned and we've grown and I feel like we've been obedient. And it just ain't happening anymore. Tell me something that'll tickle my ear. Tell me something that'll make me want to come back. I ain't going there on a Wednesday, man. I didn't get out of there till 9 o'clock. I'm not going to change the way I'm doing things, guys. Well, you know, you'd have a bigger church if. You must have not been listening. A wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he establishes his way. Now, I know this is going to sound like, to some of you guys right now, you're going to think, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But listen to me. Listen to me. If you guys are here and you're going to be honest, try with me. I used to stare in the mirror to come up with the meanest faces I possibly could. Okay, there's a few of us. I used to sit in there. I had a boss. In the street, we have a hierarchy. And my boss, what we called skipper, he could look at you with what's called a stone look. You'd say something, and he just, like he died. I'd be like, oh, man. You see Skip's look? Man, I want to get a look like Skipper. Man. Just like death stare. Like he just froze. It's like his soul just left. I used to look in the mirror all the time. That's stupid. Now, some of you girls probably don't know any clue of what I'm talking about. You never do anything like that. Me and my wife have been watching this show called The Green Arrow. Been binge watching it. It's the craziest show you've ever seen. Everybody dies, comes back to life. It's just the guy shoots arrows and they're faster than bullets. It's the stupidest thing, but it's so entertaining. And there's this girl in the show, and her mouth is permanently. My wife. I look at my wife, and she's like, "What's the matter?" I said, "How does she do that so long?" They like inserted like a piece of metal or something in there. You can't even do it so bad with that. Huh? What the heck does Mr. Ed the horse have to do with it? What does that have to do with a wicked man hardens his face? I'm just messing with you. You're funny. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. Guys, this is one of my life verses. And let me tell you something. As we go through the book of Proverbs, if you have not yet, and most of us that are here, Oscar, you've been since we started day one, right? If you've not like figured verse 30 out yet, man, it's time to understand that I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care how smart, how stupid, how sharp. Listen to me. There's no wisdom. There's no counsel. There's no understanding against the Lord. The promises of God are yes and amen. And if you will stand on the promises, I don't care what the devil, the world, your own flesh, your enemies will throw at you. There's no wisdom or counsel or understanding against the Lord. And piggybacked on that, the last verse, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. Go right back to verse 1 that we studied. Guys, God told us these kids were ours. He told us from day one. And we, although we fought, although we worried, although we were anxiety ridden, the horse was prepared for the day of battle. We hired the lawyer. We did our due diligence. We did the study. If you knew my wife literally followed this woman around the county in her car, trying to get the police to pick her up. Salute. I'm not going to complain because I've been coughing all night myself, huh? What do you say, babe? Yes, it was. No, they don't know which kids were adopted, honey. I didn't tell them which ones. You guys can't figure it out. You wanted to say something? Honey, I know. Listen, she went, this is the Lord. I know it's the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Honey, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You cannot follow this woman around. It was so insane. You have no idea. You could ask her some of those stories. Guys, you know something about this? Jamie. Oh, tell me. Do tell. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle. Do you understand what that means? The horse is prepared for the day of battle. I don't care if you have tanks, air fighters. I don't care. Do you not know what the Bible says about the last days? Do you understand what happened in 1949? Now, I might have the countries wrong. Israel, that big. Jordan, Iraq, Iran, Syria. They said, they shall not exist. And do you know that this little country defeated all of these great nations? And do you know that this is going to happen again? According to Ezekiel 38, the battle of Gog and Magog. Russia and China will form an alliance, and they will come out of the east and invade Israel. And do you know who will destroy those armies? God. You can prepare any horse you want. I don't care what weapons of war you possess. You cannot curse what God has blessed. You cannot defeat the victory that God has given. I've got 2 minutes left, and I'm ending early. I am. It's early. It's 10 to 9. I usually finish at 9, but we start a little early, so we're ending a little early. There's a story in the Bible about a guy named Balaam. And Balaam was paid money to curse the nation of Israel. He said, I will pay you to curse Israel. He goes, I can't curse what God has blessed. Can you try? And they showed him all the money. Well, maybe I could try, you know, and give it a shot. Every single time he tried, it wound up being a blessing. What's the matter, Tom? What are you shaking your head at? Did I mess the story up? Okay. good word.
And it happens.
Happens to all of us.
Yeah, it's happened.
You guys all heard that? Sometimes the enemy don't make you bad, he just makes you busy. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the wisdom that you imparted. God, may we receive it in the name of Christ. May we adhere to it by the power of your Spirit. And may it set us free from anxiety and worry. God, we know that what you curse, no one can bless. And what you bless, no one can curse. You are the door. You are the way, the truth, and the life. We know, God, that in you we live, we move, and we have our being. And the blood of Christ covers us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. God, thank you so much that we are your blessing. Thank you, God, that you've chosen us. May we receive your word with fullness of joy. We love you and we thank you for this time. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.